To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook, Twitter, or MeWe. Good morning. Today's photo of a shooting star over Grant Island near Brantingham, New York, comes to us from SK Photography and Design. Our friend just happened to be taking a night shot when they serendipitously captured this soaring beauty in the sky and its reflection in the waters of Brantingham Lake below. I also just love how the lights on the lake light up the scene below and how the other stars that are not racing across the universe light up the sky above. And check out that swimming float on the right and the reflections on the lake that just invite us to take a nighttime dip. I don't often share evening photos, but this one makes me think of that Neil Diamond song that says, "I thank the Lord for the nighttime," because the beauty of his creation only needs a little light to reveal it. Similarly, we just need a little light of a little bit of God's light to help us walk through even the darkest times in our lives. That Neil Diamond song confesses that the singer is thanking God for the nighttime in part because of the difficulties of the uptight time of the day. Labor Day is over, and as most of us return to work today, some of us will be challenged by the increase in activity that occurs after a three-day weekend, and others may have to deal with new routines as things change now for whatever seasonal or arbitrary reasons that may apply. I will be experiencing a change of job duties going forward as of today and have a strange mix of excitement and dread. Yes, anxiety is a common response to the unknown that most of us experience when things change. Thankfully, this isn't my first rodeo, and I have some experience at riding the bucking bronco of changing circumstances at work. I have learned that the best tactic for coming to a new situation is to completely surrender to the change and to go into it with an agreeable, open, and humble attitude. "I'm here to serve and to do the best I can" is our mantra. Repeat, "I'm here to serve and to do the best I can." Not, "I hate my life." I use that second one as a veritable anthem through many transitional periods in my life, and I discovered that while my negative emotional state thought it was an appropriate summation of my experience, it just wasn't true. I don't hate my life, and I don't hate my job either. Like most of us, I'm just not a big fan of change. But luckily, my years of trial and error of stumbling through life and running into walls has taught me to meet new challenges by embracing the truth. The big truth is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, of course. And it's by that foundational truth that I can walk through life a whole lot more skillfully than I have in the past. The changing circumstances of life can dish out a heaping helping of suffering with all kinds of things that can go wrong, up to and including a sudden death. But when you make Christ your Lord and Savior, all the possible troubles and tribulations that we can suffer are put in their proper perspective. Take the work example, for instance. One of the worst-case scenarios is to make some mistake and get fired, right? Well, when you have faith, you know that the Lord will provide if that happens. But if we really are following the Lord, that's not too likely, because we'll be actively seeking to do what's right and to perform to the best of our abilities on a daily basis, right? So I will play the part of a humble servant, because that's the role God would want me to play. And the funny thing is that when we do that with a heart to please God and to give him glory, things usually work out. But again, if they don't, I will have the assurance of knowing that I was honest and obedient and tried to do everything his way. You see, our faith in Christ isn't just for eternity. Our relationship with God gives us the meaning and purpose we are to live by right now. So no matter what comes my way, I try to align my thoughts, words, and actions to reflect that I am secure and accepted by my Heavenly Father, who just happens to be the highest power above and beyond the universe itself. Beyond work, the bad things that happen in life, like sickness, loss, and death, we should likewise process according to our relationship with God. Easier said than done, I know, if you don't have a daily spiritual practice of communicating with Him. But that's why you develop one. Praying without ceasing is just walking and talking with God on a continual basis. And as I have said above, it doesn't take too much of His light to strengthen us and show us the beauty in the darkness. So as we drive into a new day, think about inviting God along for the ride. He's omnipresent. That means He's available, and His presence, strength, and wisdom can help us navigate through all the turns and bumps in the road on our journey of life. This morning's meditation verse is 2 Timothy from 2 Timothy 2:25 from the New King James Version. It says, "In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth." Today's verse provides instruction on how we are to handle opposition and reveals the divine source that fuels a transformed Christian life. We recently reviewed 2 Timothy 2:26, which highlighted the fact that those who are outside of the Christian faith or those who oppose it are captives doing the will of the devil and need to come to their senses. And presenting that portion of Scripture, we had to present the context that preceded it, and we mentioned that our stance for dealing with opposition was to attempt to correct others with humility. Obviously, that context is shown here in verse 25. If we think about why we would try to be humble when we're trying to correct someone, we can see that there are good practical reasons for it. Proverbs 15:1 from the New King James Version says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." So you see here, the Word of God is consistent. If we're trying to correct someone, we don't want to stir up anger, because angry people tend to be defensive and don't want to consider a view that is different from their own. So we should use a soft answer and a gentle demeanor that speaks the truth in love when we try to share the gospel or the biblical principles for how to live. That proverb is also good advice to us if someone should bring accusations or criticisms to our doorstep. So the principle to have a humble attitude can serve us well as we walk in the world to win friends and influence people. But I want to point out that when it comes to the gospel or calling the wayward towards repentance, that we don't just win a debate or convince someone to do the right thing. Someone putting their faith in Christ or turning from their sins requires the Holy Spirit to move in the person's life. God could use us for that purpose through our words and actions, but we must never forget that while the gospel and living a Christian life just makes sense to us, seeing the truth and accepting them is something that must be spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings revelation and opens the eyes of the spiritually blind. This fact should make acting in humility a little easier. Unfortunately, we can't debate or argue someone into God's kingdom. Christ's first commandment is to love God, and we can't convince or force anyone to do that. That's why we need to act and speak in a way so we can have some assurance that at least those in opposition to us hear what we are saying and understand where we are coming from. Because if they have an ear to hear, the Lord just may take the opportunity to bring salvation or to grant repentance. For the believer who is mired in, who's mired in sins of their pre-Christ worldly ways, this spiritual reality really comes to bear. Why do some Christians struggle with sin continually while others seem to have a moment of clarity where they can walk away from their sin for good, or who come to a point in their faith walk where their besetting sin falls away and its temptation loses its pull? It's because the Lord grants repentance. So if you didn't get that instant repentance, instantly, it doesn't mean that your case is hopeless. God can still grant repentance to you if you choose to surrender to His will and ways for your life. If you humble yourself and choose to follow the Lord and mature in your faith by putting His word in your mind and heart, you'll be equipped to resist the devil, renew your mind, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This method of walking with God to receive his repentance takes practice and patience. It involves discipline and intentionally and repeatedly redirecting our thoughts and actions to be in line with God's ways. But it is not just the Christian form of karate where you do all the work by the sweat of your brow. Part of our daily spiritual practice needs to include prayer, where you communicate to God your gratitude and your request for his strength, wisdom, and love. When we walk in the Spirit with a heart set on changing our ways for his and drawing closer to him, we will come to a crossroads in our journey where we leave our besetting sin behind and realize that God, like a midnight surgeon, has cut that out of us. Somewhere along our walk with the Lord, he will grant us repentance in that area, and instead of being preoccupied with that fight, we can confidently claim our victory and turn to other areas in our lives to surrender to him. So pray for those who oppose you and use a humble spirit when you try to correct them, realizing that it is only the Lord that will grant them repentance and a knowledge of the truth. And as you walk in the Lord's direction, try to open your eyes, heart, and mind to examine your experience and speak humbly to yourself to see what the Lord can help you to repent of. A good rule of thumb is to ask yourself, what do I have in my life that I have accepted as something that is impossible to change, or that is something I just don't want to do or can't do? The places that we don't want to go to or where we resist may be the areas that God alone can change, and he may be calling us to trust him to do the impossible in our lives. So keep walking and talking with God. We've got places to go and people to see. And if we listen to the Lord's call, he might just use us to bring a victory. That was this morning's meditation verse. As always, you get a rhythm, you know. As always, I invite all to go to mdforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue to share from June Hunt's Boundaries, how to set them and how to keep them. And where we're continuing in a new section that asks the question, what are different kinds of personal boundaries? And within that section, you'll learn about relational boundaries, emotional and mental boundaries, spiritual boundaries, moral and ethical boundaries, sexual boundaries, physical boundaries, and, you know, healthy boundaries. So if you want to, establish boundaries, learn about boundaries, going to mdforchrist.org is not a bad idea today. So go there and you'll see that resource at the end of today's message on the blog. So you can check that out. And if you want to see the previous messages, you just have to go to the previous day's message. You can see the whole resource laid out from beginning to end with a little research. And as always, we invite people to go to our discipleship classes, Victory Over the Darkness and Bondage Breaker, that are on the podcast for edification. If you want, you can get the class materials by contacting me at mtforchrist247@gmail.com and, basically do the class as if you were in the class and get built up in your faith. And get feedback from me. Also, we invite you to check out our Bible study series with the Sincottis. We have a bunch of messages that we've done with them for you. If you don't have a Bible study, you can join our Bible study. And we have a bunch online. The blog has the outlines, and the podcast is our discussion. So you can look at the blog as you listen. And there's that. I also like to announce the Freedom in Christ class is starting in 2 days. Wow. At Rock Solid Church at 6:30 p.m. I will be there presenting Freedom in Christ. And I've already recorded a podcast for the listeners of the podcast. So if you can't come to Hudson, New York, you can still participate in the Freedom in Christ class. by going to the blog. I'll be putting something up on the blog, and I'll be putting up the podcast. So you'll be able to follow along, sort of an outline of the class. Not a perfect outline. I'm not going to give you everything. You're going to have to listen. the podcast will be there, and there'll be an outline of some of the resources from the class on the blog when I upload them Thursday evening. We're looking forward to that. And as always, I just want to thank people for listening and for checking out the blog. I deeply appreciate it. I find the Lord has transformed my life, so I can encourage other people to follow Him and help others. So we just thank you for that. I ask for prayer for the ministry, and I ask for prayer for the days ahead as we enter into an uncertain season at work. But I know the Lord's got us, and we're going to be just fine. And so I pray that for you too. Thank you, Lord. I pray for you to bless everyone who listens to this or reads the blog. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys have a great day.